This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target. And we're so glad to be back with you because, as you know, during the pandemic and during the crisis in the last couple of months, well, it's probably more than a couple of months, we haven't been able to give you some new information because as this program is our mission to talk about current subjects and to talk about everything that has to do on Target, it's called, with our lives here in Western New York. And of course, there was so much happening and we had so many issues that we wanted to cover. But last week, when we did get back, we did discuss, of course, many things to do with our health, which is probably the priority in our lives during this pandemic. But along with that, there are so many other issues. It's affected us in our everyday lives in so many ways, and especially, secondary, is the economic, the spin-off and the economic effect that this terrible time is having on all of us, no matter whether we work, whether we're an employee, an employer, and in our lives financially, especially with our housing. Because in the studio, talking to me today, speaking of housing and foreclosure crises and economics, is our very own Erie County clerk, Michael. Oh my gosh, is that your real name?
Michael is my dad.
Hi, Michael.
Mother.
Hi, Michael P. Kearns. Michael P. Kearns. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited because I forgot that, and all the Michaels in my life I love. There's so many Michaels in my life, including my dear husband, and now there's my dear friend Mickey Kearns, who's really Michael. Hi.
Good morning. I know my mother would always call me Michael, and my sisters, and whatnot. Obviously, the Irish and many of the other ethnic groups, we can't think of too many names. I was named after St. Michael, and I have so many cousins and relatives named Michael Kearns. I got the name Mickey.
Well, yes, to differentiate. And, you know, my Michael, he was always Michael, but a lot of Michaels are Mike, you know?
Correct.
So that's the way to differentiate, too. Well, I wanted to talk to you, Michael Kearns, Erie County Clerk, about a subject to begin with that has been greatly covered in the news, and it's been and very current and very important, and it has to do with what we're calling the looming foreclosure crisis. Could you explain what that means?
Sure. Going back to my Buffalo Common Council days, I represented South Buffalo on the Buffalo Common Council, and the city of Buffalo at that time had more vacant and abandoned properties than any other municipality in the country other than Biloxi, Mississippi. And I was getting phone calls from constituents, and they wanted something done. And we worked really hard on making sure that we could get answers for those properties where there were a bank mortgage. It has to be a bank mortgage. And then something happens. Maybe there was a loss of a job or maybe a medical crisis within the family where that person would be behind on their payments, and they would possibly just vacate the house or leave the house, and they would be foreclosed upon. And that was prior to my days being here as the Erie County Clerk. And then I went to Albany, and I represented the first ring suburbs of West Seneca and even Orchard Park and Lackawanna. And I saw that some of the same issues that were impacting our urban areas in the city of Buffalo were now impacting with the 2008 recession and that crisis still going on in 2012 when I became a New York State Assembly member. And then from that day forward, I advocated for foreclosure relief, and we were able to pass in the Assembly with the support of my colleagues the Foreclosure Relief Act. And then I came back to become the Erie County Clerk because this is where the foreclosure begins, as you know, the lawsuit. It's a lawsuit in New York State. The Liz Pendon is filed, and this is where it all begins. And I'm really in the thick of things when you think about zombie properties and vacant and abandoned properties.
Now, I don't know if everybody understands. It's scary. I think when people hear that, they think about Halloween, the zombie properties.
Yes.
But it really isn't. I need you, the
Sure.
expert, to explain what that means.
Sure. So a zombie property is a property where someone had a mortgage, and they fell behind. But where the term comes in, zombie, is, and, you know, we always think of zombie movies. I loved scary movies when I was growing up. When we were younger, it's something that's scary. And what happens is, in many instances, people vacate the house, and then there isn't the proper people aren't taking care of the proper property properly, meaning the grass isn't cut. Maybe the heat isn't the bill. The heating bill isn't paid. The heat is turned off. Maybe there's a problem in the basement, a broken pipe where there's flooding in the basement, and literally it could cause havoc on a community because one vacant property on a street could take down the property values of the whole street. So it's scary for people because a home is their major investment in their financial. Investment. It's their, you know, the thing that they invest in the most. They put a lot of time and effort in. We spend the most time in our homes. And when there is a vacant and abandoned property or a zombie property on a street, it could have a major impact on a resale of other properties, on, you know, the possibility of the value of your home if you're looking to take a home equity loan. And, you know, I always say that you not only buy the house, you buy the neighborhood. It could have a major impact on the neighborhood. So, you know, it's scary when you're working so hard and you're investing a lot of your time and financial resources into a home, and then you see that, unfortunately, something happens to one of your neighbors that you can't control. It gets scary, Judge.
I thought I was being very clever and talking about zombies and Halloween, but really, it's truthful.
It is truthful. Matter of fact, we work with the West York Law Center. We currently have a contract with them. And for a number of years, we've gone out. I worked with former Mayor Jeff Szymanski in Lackawanna, and we used to do a zombie walk on Halloween. And we're going to continue that this year, where we go out on Halloween and just bring some type of notification to the neighbors that, you know, people care. We're working on these issues. We're working on these problems. And it just brings some – it highlights the issue, which is a very important issue that needs to be highlighted.
I need to go back to something that we started with to explain. When they say that, according to the most recent U.S. Census household poll survey, I don't know what that is, but approximately 11% of Americans are behind on their monthly mortgage payments. During the mortgage crisis, there was a mortgage crisis prior to this in 2008 and 2009. Until 2011. And that is what you're kind of using as what might happen because of the unemployment rate then. And you're kind of looking at what that happened before. And so this might happen now. Is that what basically you're trying to say?
Yes. And Judge, what really makes me nervous and scares me is that, and we have to be prepared, is in that time, remember, in Buffalo, we never had a housing bubble. Prior to COVID, as the Erie County clerk, when people close on their homes, they do it here. They put the deed on record here. We're the keeper of the records in the clerk's office. And we didn't have a housing crisis at that time in the sense of Buffalo didn't feel that pain because there weren't an overvaluation of a home, meaning that now for homes that are very modest homes, which is really good for our economy, we see 30 or 40 offers on a home. It's really a seller's market. And then what you're seeing is that with that over valuation of that home, there's a possibility that if that person were to lose that home, or maybe the other thing is to not only buy a home, but to keep the one that they have, we're looking at tighter lending standards. And that virus impact is going to be major because now we finally have seen the increase in value in our community, which is a good thing, a very positive thing for people who are looking to sell their homes. However, conversely, on the other hand, what we're seeing is the possibility of a major bubble that, what's going to happen? Those people may not be able to afford those homes if maybe two people in the household are working and one of them gets laid off because of COVID. So we're very concerned about that. And when you have unemployment so high, there is that possibility.
This is so unfair because, as you just pointed out, right before COVID, our property values were going so high, and everybody, it was just the opposite situation. You know, there were people buying homes, you know, for millions of dollars, that, and everyone's property was going up, and now we've got just the opposite situation.
And the housing market is always tricky, as you know,
yes.
But it's a huge part of our economy here in Erie County. The one thing I'm very proud of is we never closed, our registrar's office never closed, so we were able to put all those deals on record. I knew that many people qualified pre-COVID, and if we shut down and they had to go back to the banks, they may not have been able to either sell their home or purchase that home. So with sales tax, with what we're doing here at the clerk's office, we're a really major part of Erie County's budget. We usually give them approximately $7.5 million a year. You could see that if there is a downturn in the housing market, how that's going to impact not only the economy, but our municipal government, Erie County, and many of our local governments, because they do receive funding from the county.
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in today. You are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are talking to, you probably already recognize my guest's voice. He's been so vocal and so prominent in the community, particularly in the last couple of years, Michael P. Kearns, our Erie County Clerk, also known as Mickey, and we're discussing the various issues, that economic issues that affect the clerk's office and that affect you during this COVID time. I just wanted to go back also to something we were talking about. During, a lot of people may be delinquent in their mortgages now, but there was a pause during, well, I don't know if it applied to rent, mortgages, everything, during the pandemic, and there was assistance, wasn't there, that may not be available economically any longer.
And we're, you know, we talked about the core source of wealth for most Americans. You know, that wealth is their home. Then, it impacts people. If you imagine people who own a double, and then they rely on that income to maybe make their mortgage payments. So I have had conversations with the county executive about the possibility of using federal money that has been given to the county. He's been open to that. We're going to have additional conversations on that to see how we can help people. I know he's been proactive on wanting to be proactive on this issue, concentrating on evictions. However, I do think that we still need some help for our homeowners, and we do have assistance for those people who may be facing foreclosure. The West New York Law Center was able to secure a contract with my office, a extension of a contract with the assistance of the Erie County Legislature. So if you are facing foreclosure, I always give this number out, 858-6985. Please contact my office, and we'll get you in touch with the West New York Law Center. That is a free service for people who are listening. That's free, and we really want to help people because, you know, really when you think about housing, it's so comprehensive. You think about health, you think about employment. We don't want people, we want to avoid people losing the home that they already have. And it's a transition time that we're seeing in our community. And, you know, going back to many of our, minority populations that have been disproportionately affected by this, it's going to have a greater impact in the poorer areas. Those people who maybe were hanging on by a thread pre-COVID, maybe of a job loss, or they were just making it, our senior citizens. So really, if we don't have a healthy housing community, we don't have a healthy community.
Yes, and also, as I said, it seems so unfair because we were doing so well and everybody was so encouraged about the housing market and, you know, before this happened. And now to go to have this crisis affect everything, and I said, economically, that's so important. You mentioned something before also. I always forget all of the facets and the jurisdiction and how important the Erie County Clerk's office is, how many different things you are involved in, and how many aspects of our everyday life are controlled by the Erie County Clerk's office. Could you give us a little rundown Probably would take an hour. Probably would take more time than we have, Mickey, to explain all the jobs and positions and places in our lives that the Erie County clerk takes place and applies to.
Sure. You know, humbly, I have this job, and I say that, and I know you were a great jurist, a great judge.
Oh, thank you.
And anyone who has a complicated position or job, you have to have great people. We have great frontline workers. We've got great employees here at that office. But we do have a very complicated, important office for Erie County. I mentioned earlier, you know, I didn't realize the importance of this office, not in the sense of I knew how the value it was to Erie County, but when COVID hit, we had to redesign our whole office. And I always said there's only two clerks who had to do that, the first Erie County clerk and myself. In between there were some excellent clerks. However, no one has had to do what we have had to done with the COVID crisis. So we do the registrar's office, and many people know that when they did a housing closing, those records are put on records. We have a pistol permit office. As you know, I'm a great supporter of the Second Amendment. We had to redesign that office. Of course, I'm the clerk of the courts, so any filings that come into our office electronically, and I have to give a lot of credit to previous clerks and legal clerks that were here, we really were able to build on their success from electronic filing. And then finally, one of the things that we always hear about is our auto bureau, our DMV. So it's a complicated office. And then, of course, I've taken on the challenge of this zombie property issue. It's something that I think, you know, the foreclosures filed in this office. And I have the expertise from working down in Albany and have drafting that Foreclosure Relief Act. Matter of fact, we're working with the town of Clarence on a zombie property where they're the first municipality to sue a service provider for lack of cooperation and really, their due diligence, the lack of due diligence on the property, of maintaining the property in a very prominent area. So, you know, it's a very complicated office. But because they have such excellent staff and excellent support, but I've learned the one thing I was going to say is every day, Judge, I'm learning something new, and I'm trying to learn something new every day because just before I got on the phone with you, I had a constituent call me, and they had a pistol permit question. How do I add a gun to my permit? And we're doing that by mail now because of COVID. We used to have two satellites. And we're doing the best that we can, and we're trying to get that service, these important services that impact, as you said, you know, sometimes people don't use government offices. I believe that people on a yearly basis use our office a few times, 2, 3, 4 times a year.
To give an example that you just mentioned, before COVID particularly, you had managed to bring the pistol permit applications almost current, which was a total miracle, because if I think back all the years when I was involved with it, particularly because a judge has to be involved with pistol permits, then there were so many complaints about how long it took for people to get their application processed and to get their permit. And now, right before COVID hit anyway, they were saying that you were actually almost current with people's applications.
We were current. And, you know, here, once again, it's a team effort. You know, if you watched the Bills game yesterday,
yes,
Josh Allen had a great game. But there were some people that gave him some time to throw the ball. There was someone that were catching the passes from Josh Allen. Josh Allen got a lot of the glory yesterday, but there's a lot of unsung heroes. And I'll tell you right now, we were going to be current because of the leadership of Sheriff Howard. My first day as the clerk, I met with Sheriff Howard, I met with Judge Bowler and their staff, and we worked really hard to make sure that this was going to happen. And yes, it's amazing that we were going to be current because we re-engineered the department. We looked at the department. What are the things we could do? We've changed the application. We put some new things, some new glitches in there to help people along, to expedite the process. And then COVID happens. And normally, as you know, we get approximately between 2,200 and 2,600 applications a year. Just in the month of July, we received over 1,000 applications in 1 month. So, you know, we're taking it day by day, and we're doing the best that we can. We're trying our best to reach with people. We're doing things by mail. If you go to erie.gov/clerk and then go to the pistol permit section, we will do the best that we can to turn these things around as quickly as possible. And I think we're doing, not only myself, but I do think the staff is doing an excellent job. I have a very experienced staff in there. They're doing a great job. And we're doing our best, Judge. We're doing the best under circumstances that no one could have planned for.
And I can attest to how not only just competent, but helpful and cooperative and really friendly and nice the people that are on your staff are. Because I've had so many occasions, not just as a judge, but just myself, to need help. And they're always so helpful and friendly and knowledgeable. Probably the most contacts, the most number of contacts that people have with you, it might not be English, but it has to do with motor vehicles, right? With that, the motor vehicle department, and
yeah.
That had to have been quite a challenge during COVID.
Well, here's where we're at with that, and it was very challenging. I always said I was blessed, I was lucky. I came into work every single day, so it took my mind a little bit off of COVID. But we did a lot. You know, the staff and my management staff and myself, we've had a lot of challenges. This was a major challenge because, obviously, if we do close to 600,000 to 800,000 transactions a year at our auto bureau, we're the largest auto bureau in New York State outside of, obviously, the states outside of New York City. We're the largest county completing that. And if you think about it, many people think my job is just to be the auto bureau chief. As you said, I wear many different hats. And when Governor Cuomo, through his executive order, shut down all of the auto bureaus, that put a halt to a lot of the transactions, but it also put a halt to a lot of the revenue that we're going to be counting on for the county. The governor or the county executive instituted a deficit reduction plan, which I participated in, and we did our part the best we can. I'm very proud to say we didn't lay anyone off. We were able to maintain services, but we went to, and I made the decision to go to curbside service, where we did nearly 15,000 transactions when we were closed. So we were trying to get our first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our truck drivers, anyone who would need a license. We knew they were essential workers to get our food to our people, to get our medicine to our senior citizens. I made that decision, and I said, we're going to do this. And once again, these frontline workers, it was not easy, Judge. It was one of the hardest things we had to do because, remember, we couldn't really use the facility. We had to have people pull up, get their information, bring that information inside, bring it back outside, have people waiting in their cars. People were nervous at that time about, you know, touching other people's documents. But at that point in time, there was nothing we could do. The CDC came out with the ruling that it couldn't be passed through paper, which I believe was correct. We took some risk, but we knew that there had to be balance, an economic balance between what we have to do for the county, and many of these people need to get on the road. So we were able to do 13,000 transactions, and then the state says you have to do everything by appointment. Well, we were ready for that because we were doing appointments, but now we had to expand appointments to everyone. And I always said the county clerk's office, it wasn't new to us, it was new to the public. And really, every day we're working our best to make sure that people can get in. And I'm pretty proud to say we just added an additional 800 appointments the other day, that we're doing the work for many of our adjacent counties, that we're taking many people. I just got a call this morning from someone from Wyoming County, and they said, clerk, can we come in? Are we allowed to get an appointment in your facilities? I said, absolutely. And that's not degrading any other clerk from any other county. Any of our surrounding counties, they're excellent clerks. However, they only have limited staff, and because we have Saturday hours, we've been able to help a lot of other counties. And listen, we're one big family in New York, so if there's another county that needs our help, we're going to do it, Judge.
You know, I forget how this works, but there is something to do with whether you apply for your license, the money stays here in Erie
Sure.
County. Can you explain that? I when I learned that from you, actually, in a different conversation, I thought, oh my gosh, everyone should know this because we want the money to stay here in Erie County if we can.
Right. So when the three nuns taught us the reading, writing, and arithmetic. So when I became the clerk, we didn't hire any type of big firm to put together our marketing plan. It didn't cost the taxpayers anything. I came up with Ready, Reserve, Renew. And what that means is, one, you know, we want people to be ready when they come in. Be prepared. You know, you were taught that by your mom and your dad or a relative. When you go to school or you have a job, you're prepared for the day. Number two, make a reservation. Well, obviously, everyone has to make a reservation now because that's the new state law. But the final thing is to renew local. And we want people to renew because every transaction we do, we get 12.75%. It stays here in Erie County. That helps with our roads, to help make sure that Erie County can keep taxes low. So really, the renewal has been tough because people say, well, I can go online, Mr. Kearns. I don't want to wait a couple weeks to come into the Auto Bureau. So our goal is to have it to where you can get an appointment within a week, which I think it's going to happen. And if you renew local, we're working on a new system where people can email me and we can renew where they won't even have to come into the Auto Bureau anymore. That's something that I'll be announcing in a couple weeks where because of COVID, you need to renew a car, you need to renew a truck, you know, something. Well, we're going to help you do that online so you don't have to come into the Erie County Auto Bureau. I'm giving you a little, you know, treat preview of what we're going to do. But we're working really hard, Judge, to make sure that people have a good experience because we know how important this revenue is to Erie County. We support a lot of other departments, which are crucial to the county.
And everybody believes right now how important it is to buy local and to support our small businesses and our local businesses.
Correct.
So this is just really an addition to what we've been talking about. So it's so important. Let me ask you one more time if there's any numbers or places where people can get more information about all the subjects that we talked about today.
Sure. If you have a question, you can contact me at 858-6985. In addition to that, which is even better, that all the information is there, if you go to the Erie County Clerk's website, if you go to erie.gov, very simple, erie.gov, it'll take you to all of the countywide officials, and you'll see my name, Michael Kearns. Click onto that, and you'll see, depending upon what you're interested in, whether it's an Auto Bureau question, whether it's a pistol permit question, maybe something to do with the DBA. You know, we are also the business office, and, you know, when people want to start a business, they get their DBA certificate here at the clerk's office. I'm very proud of that. We're setting record number of requests for DBAs here in Erie County, and that's the entrepreneurial spirit. That's what I love about people who are up against the wall in Erie County, especially in Western New York. We get knocked down, and we get back up.
We never give up. We are so fortunate to have you as our Erie County Clerk, Mr. Kearns, and thank you so much for talking to us on Target today. Keep up the good work. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with you again next week. Same time, same station. Have a good week, and be healthy, everybody. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.